You know, I want to share a few things with y'all tonight, and I may just ramble around here because I got about four different ways I feel pulled. And so, first one is every time I read this confession, speak it out of my mouth, I think about, you know, it's one thing for us to be standing here or making this confession. Okay, it's one thing for you to stand in your house or look in your mirror or whatever, but it's another completely different thing to face it to say it when you're faced with obstacles. And you know, everybody's different. Everybody, you know, we all have different likes and dislikes. But I always have loved Hezekiah in the Old Testament, and I try to sometimes put myself in his shoes and what he felt like when he stood up there on the wall, and he looked over and he saw the Assyrian army coming. And, you know, it says they were like the sand of the sea, just so many of them. I mean, you know, I've never been in that situation. And you can imagine the thoughts that came to his mind, you know, of maybe possibly seeing villages pillaged by, you know, people, and the destitution and the everything that was going to come about after all this. And, you know, they destroy the walls and it's the holy city, and man, and you look out there and you're like, wow. And it says, you know, a lot of times it says, you can read it two ways. He says, you know, he goes to the temple and he rips his clothes and, you know, starts praying. Well, you know, that could have been a real holy mover. It could have just been, you know, him running to the temple. Ah! I don't know. You know, falling down on his face, there's nothing else you're going to do. Oh, God, help! But he turned to the right place, you know. And, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing here and putting the whole story together in a little bit. With all the you know, the demon horde that was out there, I mean, even in his mind and everything that he could have thought about, there's no way naturally that it could take place. And I don't know if y'all are like me. A lot of times I start trying to speculate. I start trying to figure in my mind, well, how could this happen? You know, how could this, you know, maybe, you know. And so, you know, you go to what you can imagine. And so, like, you take the Egyptian army coming across, you know, the Red Sea. Well, I don't think anybody imagined the Red Sea opening it up. I mean, that's pretty far-fetched. I mean, how would they ever imagine? They'd never seen it. Because most of the time, what's in your imagination is only what you've seen. Right? If I said to you, you know, something, you know, off, like, can you imagine what a hyena looks like running across the plain? Well, if you've never seen a hyena run across the plain, you saw one on television, you can kind of put it together, and then you think about the grass, whatever, you know, but you never actually saw it. But if you'd actually seen it, then you're like, oh, yeah, right? And so you can imagine he's trying to think of how could this mass of army be destroyed. And so when they're going through the deal, you know, it says that they started throwing hailstones down and the angels started jerking the wheels off the chariots. I mean, see, you could imagine that. Because you probably at one time in life saw a chariot, the wheel fall off. So it was easy for you to imagine, but hailstones being thrown down, I mean, now we're stretching it again, right? So the point I'm trying to make here is Hezekiah, you know, I don't know what went through his mind. I can only imagine what he's trying to think of. And if he knew the stories, he could say, oh, Lord, throw some hailstones down on them, you know, we'll kill a bunch and get the angels down here and pull the wheels off the chariots. There's still a lot left. Right? But God. Everybody say, but God. And if you read the story, look at it, and what happened is God caused a whisper to go in the camp. That's all it was a whisper. I mean, go read the account. And basically, there was a whisper into the Rabshakeh's ear, hearing about that another army was going to be attacking over in the kingdom and whatever. And so they ended up pulling back and the whole army left and everybody left, all because of a whisper. Now just think about that. That, you know, and I doubt it went through Hezekiah's mind, send a whisper. Y'all with me? My point is, so many times we want God to move, but we're trying to develop faith in only what we can imagine. And we just don't imagine a whisper. But that's how God was going to move. Are y'all with me? And so it comes down to where God wants us to believe in Him. That He is great and mighty. And that He is God. Think of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. Never seen that one. Never saw anybody walk on the water. Peter had never seen anybody walk on the water. Some of those things I can't put my mind in it, because I'm thinking, okay, you know, like, did he step out of the boat and the first step it was hard? And was the step wet or dry? Did he get his feet wet? Was he sinking down to his ankle? You know? And then he saw the waves. Well, what were the waves doing? I mean, because I'm imagining a sidewalk underwater just a little bit. Right? I mean, I don't know, folks. I've thought of this a lot and tried to look at all this and think, okay, so how was it? I mean, or did it go with the waves? You know, or was it a hard sidewalk and were the waves going over it? And so, no matter what, he starts walking and he's doing good. He's just saying, I am walking on water. And he's looking at Jesus, but then his eyes go off. And he sees the waves. Dang those waves. Right? Haven't we all done it? You're out of the boat in your own water and you're so proud of yourself. Man, you're on the water. You're walking on the water. You know, and you're so proud of yourself. Your faith is so strong and everything looks so good. And then, dadgum waves. You just look over there and see them. And then the wave begins to take a thought in your mind. I mean, it must have been a pretty big wave. I mean, because he was in fear of his life. And why would he have been in fear of his life? You know, like I was watching something the other day, and it was these huge waves. I think it was in Hawaii or whatever, those big waves, you know, that they always take the pictures, you know, it makes a big tunnel. I told my wife, I said, man, you couldn't get me on a surfboard on my belly strapped to the, you know, all around hanging on for dear life to go up to the top of it and just ride that thing down, much less think I was going to go underneath it. I mean, just to look at it, just looks like it was just going to kill you. I mean, it's water's not soft. If you've ever been skiing and you lose it, water's like concrete, right? So I just took it that way. I was like, there's no way I'd do that. Well, I mean, if it was a wave like that, but there couldn't have been a wave like that on the sea. But it just gets me that Peter got, he's a fisherman. He's been on the water forever. He said the waves shouldn't have got him. He shouldn't have been, it wouldn't have seemed, but it must have been pretty bad because it was enough to throw fear in him, right? Okay. So I think that's where we all are in life. You know, there's times we're walking on the water and we're like, cool, we're walking on the water, we're doing good. But it's getting your eyes off Jesus and start looking at the waves that all of a sudden we're forgetting that he's great and mighty, and we may have developed into this place that we're trying to figure out how God's going to do it so we're not seeing it move, and we forgot that he could just send a whisper. Right? And so what happens to us is we begin to falter, okay? So I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And so while I'm just here and y'all are turning there, let me just tell you something else I thought was interesting. Okay, you know how I was preaching Sunday about servanthood? And right now in my daily reading, I'm reading through the book of Job, you know? And it's, you know, Job's Job. One of the things hit me this morning I've never thought about is that Job had these friends, right? I mean, you know, that's right. See, that's what you just, like you said. Yeah, were they really friends or anything good? But these dudes came and sat down with him in an ash heap and didn't say anything for 7 days. It'd be one thing that you went to somebody's house who'd lost all their loved ones and you stayed with them, and then you stayed there for a while and you made supper and you did all that kind of stuff and you loved on them or whatever, and then you went home and then you went back the next day for a little while. 7 days of sitting in an ash pile with him, not saying a word. That's some dedication. We always kick those little boys, but this morning I was looking at it, it's like, that's pretty impressive. 7 days there, yeah, much whittling. Okay, so I don't know where that fits, but I just want to tell you that. Did y'all go over there to Ephesians? Okay, let me get there. Got my Bible all marked up here because I'm preaching this one off the cuff. Ephesians 6. It says, finally then, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay? Here we go. Now, hold your finger there and go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's just find out what kind of a man Paul was. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep. I mean, come on, folks. Wouldn't by now you given up and gone home? I mean, after the first beating, I think I would have wanted to question if I was in the right ministry. You know how we do that? If it's not working right, we think, oh, it must not be God. Because if it's God, it should be roses. So I'm just saying, this dude was unbelievably sold out and dedicated and tough above tough. All right? I just want to read it again. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Can you imagine what his body looked like? What's 5 times 39? That's 195? I mean, 195, they left some marks. And 3 times he was stoned. I mean, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I mean, beaten with rods can't be much fun. Stoned, you know, from all accounts, he was dead, and somebody raised him from the dead, so they stoned him until he was dead. He gets up, and then he was shipwrecked a night, a day, in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, and perils in the cities, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils of false brethren. I mean, the only thing he doesn't have listed there is dogs. In weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, in fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concerns for all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not. He said, who's weak? I'm not. Who's made to stumble? I don't know. Burned with indignation. So, I mean, so he never rubbed a scar and said, that's sorry, no good. Whipping sucker. If I must boast, I'll boast in the things which concern my infirmities. The God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artaxerxes, the king guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison, desired to arrest him, but he let down with a basket and down the wall. Okay, so now the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So if anybody, I think, in the Bible could write that and say that and make that statement, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it would be the Apostle Paul. If anybody knew how to walk in the power and the might of the Lord, because my gosh, all of us, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but I just don't think there's too many people going to get beat up that much and still going to be have a disposition that anybody would want to hear them preach. Because if I'd been beat that much, I had one message, hell, fire, and damnation to all you sinners, that you're going to burn. Are y'all with me? This guy is an exceptional human being, an exceptional nature to him, that he could write that, find him to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because that's what got him through every one of those times. Wow, I want to be there. If we're going to be a servant to the world, my gosh, is this man the example from the Lord Jesus? I mean, here we got Jesus who dies on a cross for us, and here we got Paul who says, man, the power of his might. You've got to stay in the power of his might. You've got to stay in the power of his might. You've got to walk and stay in the power of his might. Not your might, not your strength, not your endurance, not your confidence, not your knowledge, not your faith. You've got to stay in the power of his might. You've got to be so connected to Jesus that the power of his might is coming through you. You got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. So for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Could it be, just throwing this out, could it be that every time that they whipped him, Paul didn't see it as that was a person doing it, or it was that bad Roman, or it was that bad Jew, or is that bad, whatever, that he just looked at everything, that it was a fight against darkness to keep preaching the gospel, that it was totally and completely the enemy, it wasn't the person, it was the power of darkness behind it, it was just simply a matter of light and dark, good and evil, and he knew he had the victory, because he knew the devil had been defeated. He knew that Jesus had put his foot on his neck. He knew that no matter what he did to him, he couldn't win. No matter what took place in this world, he couldn't win. See, that's what happened to Job's friends. When Job started telling them, they immediately turned to Job and said, well, this happened to you for a reason. And the reason is because you're this or you're that, or you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And then Job would say something that said, see, there you go. I hear it out of your mouth. It's right there. And Job is wrong. Because Job's blaming God because he's sitting there saying self-righteous. He didn't deserve anything that he got. And I don't want you, why you woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, Lord, and did this to me. That's what Job's attitude is. And so what happens so many times in the world is we forget this battle that is really raging in this world for the souls of men. We forget that we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. We forget that we've got to put on the whole armor of God. And the first thing we've got to do is get our head on straight. If we're going to be a servant for God, we've got to get our head on straight and realize, man, there's more at stake here than what we see. Goes on and he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you're able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith for which you were able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now look at verse 18. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So in other words, he's saying, you got to keep all this armor on and you got to keep going because you got to be praying for all the people. In other words, he's saying, church, Ephesus, you guys are so important. You can't give in to the wiles of the enemy. You can't be tripped up. You can't fall down. You can't stop. You got to keep going because there's all these saints out there. There's all these people out there. We got to go get rescued and got to get saved. And you've got to stay strong and you've got to put on the whole armor of God because you've got to be the person that's going to go out there and do that. And you can't fall. Now, coming from a man who had endured what Paul had, I think you got to go back to that very first thing of that the only way to do it is you got to have his might and his strength. Because in our might and our strength, we're going to get weary. It's got to be in his might and his strength. We've got to have the eyes of God to be able to see what's really going on. We've got to be able to have the truth coming out of our mouth, his word. The other night I was taking a shower, not thinking about anything. I was sleepy. I was going to bed. Man, boom, the Holy Spirit just said to me, God will answer every word that comes out of your mouth. I was like, what? You know, like, where did that come from? Why did that just pop in my head? He said, he'll answer every one of his words that come out of your mouth. That's what he said. Every one of his words that come out of your mouth. I thought, man, isn't that the truth? But what do we do? We don't always do that. The point is we've got to stay focused. We've got to stay strong in the power of his might. Otherwise, we're going to get sidetracked. Otherwise, we're going to get off focus. Not really be walking in what he called us to do. Now, I want to show you one more scripture. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may also be manifest in our bodies. Folks, what a dynamic role we have in this world. What a dynamic role we have in this world to tell people about Jesus. What a dynamic, powerful role we play in everything that God has for us. To walk in the power of his might, defeating principalities and powers, so that people can hear the gospel. Wow. It's amazing. But you're not going to do it unless you're going to walk in his power and his might. You know, my homework for you is you need to be praying, God, how do I walk more in your power and in your might? How do I understand that more? Because the Bible says everybody that's had a hungry heart always gets fed. Right? He says, ask anything, I'll give it to you. So that's where we need to focus. We need his power and his might so that we can walk through the adversities of life. Because, you know, we're going to get hard-pressed on every side. It's going to happen. Such is life. Amen? So look at the person beside you and said, you know, you can do it. You can do it. I totally and completely believe in each one of you that you can do it. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Bill, if anybody help us, if anybody needs an offering envelope. Don't forget. What? Yeah, Andrew and Bethany will be here Sunday, so don't forget about that. Bring a friend. And I'm so excited. We have steel trucks rolling out of the yards headed towards the top of the hill to drop off all the steel columns for the church. So got a picture from Uri today, and I'm like, praise God. We're getting there. Thank you, Jesus. Not long. 3 weeks. Doesn't rain, no problems. Yeah. Because Ivan won't be here till April. Just remind me. Kathy, you remind her. Tracy, you remind her. All right, let's put your hand on your offering. Let's pray over it. Father, I declare we are blessed, 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 blessed. I thank you, Lord, for just pouring blessings out upon people, open up doors, opportunities. Lord, just blessing people everywhere that they go. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.